Good morning, all. I want to warm welcome Bhupesh Chawda, that will introduce machine learning on Apache Apex with Apache Samoa. And I leave the word to Bhupesh.
Thanks, Andrea. Am I audible, everybody? What about now? Okay, thank you. Welcome, everyone. My name is Bhupesh. I work for a company called DataTorrent, and I'm also a committer on the Apache Apex project. Right? So it's a stream processing engine similar to Storm and Flink. Right? This was supposed to be a joint presentation with Nicholas, who is from the Apache Samoa team. He's a committer there and a PMC member. He could not make it today, so I'll be delivering the entire talk. So this is what I'll be going through today. I'll just introduce, motivate some concepts related to stream processing, machine learning. Then I'll jump into Apache Samoa, what it is, and how what it means for Apex to be a runner there. Then I'll go to Apache Apex, introduce some concepts again, in case you are not heard about it or not sure what it is. And I'll also go through relevant concepts, which will be useful in understanding the integration part. I'll walk through some challenges that we encountered and a case study of one of the algorithms that is there in Samoa, and then we'll conclude. Right? So do stop and ask me any questions if you have. So let me start with big data. Basically, everybody knows this, but the point I wanted to make here is the important parts of the big data that are relevant here are nothing but the volume and the velocity. Right? And the definition is usually subjective, depending on what is the processing capability of your computing commodity server, right? So it's usually limited by that, and that's the reason you want to scale and go to multiple machines and a distributed architecture. So why do we use stream processing? Basically, it's real time. The requirement is real time and low latency processing. The data is big and the velocity is high, as we discussed, and potentially there is an infinite sequence of this data. We don't know how much data is there, so that is the reason mostly we go to stream processing. And stream processing is basically processing in stages, right? Every tuple goes through a series of computation stages. It's similar to what your CPU pipelining does, right? Fetch, decode, and so on. So all these fetch, decode, execute, these are different stages of the computation, and each tuple can be at different stage in the pipeline, right? And it's really this division into stages that helps you actually distribute the computation over the cluster. So that is how the stream processing is distributed in these new processing engines. And batch, if you look at it, it's actually a special case of streaming. It's a snapshot of the entire stream at some point of for a time interval, right? It's actually a subset of or a special case of streaming. Going to machine learning, right? So I'll be talking about mostly supervised learning because that's the most common use case. I'm not talking about the scoring part because scoring, you can actually visualize it to be streaming. Right? But training, in most cases, is not. It's usually a batch scenario where you have your training data set, you divide that into some training component, you train your model on that, then you have, maybe you can want to tune your model or actually play with some parameters. There you have the holdout data set, and then ultimately you have a small part of your training data called test data set, which you use for evaluating your model to see what accuracy is there and so on, right? And in this case, your training data has to take care of all the variations in the data, has to be a representative set, really, because you are not going to change your model. It's going to be a one-time model building thing. And the algorithms there are actually complex. They try to make multiple passes over the entire data to make sure that you have the optimal scenario there, right? So you try to minimize the error as far as possible. But it's not always the case, right? You cannot have one-time model building always. Change is expected, and you might have to dynamically adapt to new patterns in the data, right? So that is the reason you might need model updates. And usually, model updates it's a pain because you usually have to define an update frequency. You have to take your system down, maybe change the model, and make and again start the process and so on. So in case of streaming, how does it work? It approximation algorithms. There's a new entire whole category of algorithms that have been built for streaming, or the research is going on for streaming, right? So they won't be your usual batch algorithm, batch training algorithms. They are actually a variant of them, and they are an approximation variant of them, where you have some probabilistic guarantees that allow you to actually approximate to whatever your batch training algorithm does. So there are a lot of constraints in these, right? In streaming, you don't get to iterate over the data set a lot of times. You can just have a single pass, maybe spend sublinear time per data item and so on. But with this, you actually try to say that, okay, with high probability, I'll have a very small difference in the performance or in the accuracy of the batch and streaming variants. If that is acceptable, then we can use stream processing algorithms to gain all the other benefits. Right? So this is the flow that I was talking about. You have training stream and the scoring stream going to an updatable model. So whenever there's training data there, you train on that and update your model. And whenever there's a scoring data instance, you actually use the updated or the latest model to score on that. Right? And so there are a lot of scenarios for this. When new instances come, let's say credit card fraud detection, right? You have new instances, you evaluate them and give the results. But ultimately, after some time, you may actually know what the result is or whether that transaction was fraudulent or not. And that then becomes a training instance. So then you actually have inputs to your model to help it score better in the future, right? So Samoa is something that helps us achieve this. It's a platform for big data mining. So there are two parts to it. Basically, it's a framework for distributed stream processing algorithms. And it also gives you a facility to deploy those algorithms on different stream processing engines. Right? In addition to that, it already also has a library of built-in algorithms that can be used for streaming learning. So this is the taxonomy, right? We have the distributed and non-distributed components. Non-distributed is pretty obvious for everybody. There are batch and stream variants there as well. Batch, we all know, R, Weka, and other tools like Octave, MATLAB, so on. Those fall in the non-distributed batch scenario. There were also efforts on working on streaming side on non-distributed architectures. So the MOA project, which stands for Massive Online Analysis, which is loosely what Samoa is based on, right? That is a project from the same group as Weka, and it tries to do stream processing on non-distributed architectures. Going to distributed, Hadoop has been used in the batch scenario for a long time, and Mahout was predominantly the main library that people used to use. On stream processing, recently there are a lot of stream processing engines that are coming up. Apex is one of them. And there, in this space, there was no library as such for machine learning. And Samoa is trying to achieve that or fill that gap here. So this is the architecture, right? You have at the core, we have the algorithm and the API. And then we have two different adapters. The ML adapter on the right-hand side and the SPE, which is a stream processing engine adapter. Right? The ML adapter allows you to integrate with other ML frameworks. So MOA is one of them. Maybe there are others tomorrow. Right? On the SPE side, we already had Storm, Samza, and Flink, and now we have Apex along with it. Okay? So what it means is it's a unifier for all the algorithms and all the stream processing engines. So you have to define your algorithm in Samoa just once, right? If you the algorithms that are already there right now are there, right? You can run them on any of the stream processing engines without actually writing one line of code. For any new algorithms, if you write them in Samoa, you can directly run them. You have the capability to run them on any of the distributed stream processing engines listed here, right? So we have Apex, we have Storm, we have Flink, and we have Samza. So a lot of options, and yeah. So why is it important? It allows you to program once and run it everywhere. and you avoid deploy cycles. Like your system has no downtime, you don't have to worry about complex backup and update process, and no worry about update frequency and so on, right? So you always have the latest model at any point of time. So moving on to the integration part, this is the basic logical building block for Samoa, right? You have a processing item, which is nothing but a wrapper for a processor. Processor is nothing but some logic that tells you what to do with the incoming tuple and where to send it out, right? And then on the outgoing stream is the carrier for tuples, which go to other logical building blocks like this. Right? So this is one of these components. Using this component, we build a topology of operators or maybe processing items, which actually achieve some target functionality, like it may be a learner for some kind of machine learning algorithm. Right? So this is a simple code that shows you how to actually build this topology. You add two source processors, and then create streams from those processors, and again add a join processor, which consumes the two streams from the source processors. Right? So this is the API that Samoa follows. And to integrate a new processing engine to Samoa, you have to have a certain set of implementations which actually maps the components in Samoa to the components in the stream processing engine. Right? So running it is very simple. You just get Samoa, build for a particular DSP, which is the engine. So for Apex, you can just have -p Apex. For Storm, you can say Storm. So similarly for Flink. And once you have the package, you can just specify which engine you want to run it on, and give it the jar file and the configuration or whatever what is the task that is being run. So in this case, it's frequential evaluation for which is learning using this particular learner. This is the learning algorithm, vertical offloading tree. It's learning from this stream, which is a HDFS file located here, and it's dumping the output accuracy and other results to that location as specified. And you also specify some parallelism, which whatever you want in case of in case the processing engine is distributed. Right? Okay, so what is frequential evaluation? Since in batch you have the 80-20 bifurcation, and then on 20% you try to see how much is the accuracy of your model. In streaming, it's not really possible. So what you do here is a technique called interleave test then train. So whenever an instance comes, you first test on it. Initially, the model is blank, so you might have some random result. You just send that result out, and once you have evaluated, you then train your model based on that instance, right? And same thing you keep doing for every incoming instance that that comes to the classifier. So over time, your evaluator will actually tell you what is the actual accuracy of your model. You can have an overall model which does not forget any history, or you can have a sliding window based thing which tries to forget some of the earlier past and keeps focusing on the latest sliding window to actually tell you the accuracy. Okay, so that was Samoa. Let's see what Apex is, right? It's again, like if you might have heard about other stream processing engines, it's similar to that. You have scalability, performance, fault tolerance, automatic, stateful recovery in case of failures, and built-in operability to configure and all the other things, the dynamic scaling and everything. So this started at DataTorrent, was open sourced in 2015. And like in 8 months, we were in incubation, and then it became a top level project. So in April 2016, we were a top-level project, and so this is the topology for Apex. So you might find it very similar to that of Storm or Flink, because it's the same model. It's streaming model, right? You have this topology is called basically DAG, which is the directed acyclic graph, which implies that there are no cycles in the DAG, right? In the topology. So the nodes that you have are the operators, are called operators, and they are user logic, right? So this operator needs to define what to do with the incoming tuple and where to send it out, right? And the stream is one which carries the tuples from one operator to the other, and it's connected at endpoints called ports. So you may have an input port for an operator and an output port for an operator. And many of these operators can be scalable, like scaled to multiple different partitions. So we call it partitions, but it's basically replicating that operator logic on multiple nodes or multiple containers. And this is actually a YAN application right now because YAN is the resource manager for it. And we use HDFS for persistent storage. Okay, so similar to the API that we saw for Samoa, here's the one for Apex, right? So to build a topology like this, you do you call a method called populate DAG. It actually populates your DAG with the operators and connects them through streams, right? So you see the DAG.add operator calls. That's adding four operators to the DAG and then connecting three streams between them using the ports. So the input.out refers to this particular port and the parser.in refers to this particular port. Right? So this is how the API of Apex works. It's a little different than what we had in Samoa because there we go in a flow from the start to the end. Here we can add any of the operators at random and then connect through streams. And this is the one that shows the mapping of the earlier diagram that we saw, right? So the processing operator, a processing item in this case, maps to the Apex operator. The processor is nothing but the process tuple method on the input port. So whenever an input a tuple comes, you write some logic to process it. And that's the processor in Samoa, right? And then you have similar stream concepts in Apex as well. And similar to this, there are a lot of other concepts that you have to create a mapping of when actually integrating a stream processing engine there. Let me go through windowing. So we support both processing and time-based windows, event time-based windows. Apart from the above two windows, there's a checkpoint window, right? And checkpoint is important because since it's a streaming application, it might fail sometimes due to hardware failures or anything. And you should have the capability to actually come back up from not too far a stage and resume the processing as if nothing happened. Right? So checkpoints allow you to do that. Checkpoint will actually write all the operator state onto some persistent state, in this case, HDFS. And in case of a failure, it just goes back to the last checkpoint, picks up the state, and starts processing from there. Scalability is achieved by replicating the operator logic. So if you have a logical DAG or a topology like this, 0, 1, and 2, and at launch time you say, OK, I want three instances of 1, you can just say, OK, I want three instances. And at runtime, it will actually instantiate three different instances and insert a unifier at the end so that all the tuples are unified here and sent a single stream to 2. Right? And this can be actually dynamic as well, where you don't have to say, OK, I want two instances or four instances, because you're not sure what the incoming load is. During runtime, you can just say rules, something like if the latency goes above 100 milliseconds, double my partitions, or double the number of replicas, right? If the latency goes below 10 milliseconds, just half it, half the number. So that way, you can scale based on the incoming load, and you scale down as well when you don't actually need resources and free them up for other tasks or jobs running there, right? During parallelism, there is this thing where if the operator number one is partitioned, zero needs to know which data to tuple to send to which particular partition. And that is called a stream mapping for that tuple, right? And this is how it works in Apex. So user has control over it. User can, what happens is the hash code is taken for an object. You look at the log to the base 2 of number of partitions, and these many bits are used to actually evaluate which partition your tuple will go to. So any object, you just take the hash code and look at the last two bits, and look at this table. So if it's 1, 1, it should go to partition number 4. In this case, it goes to partition number 2, which is B2. Right? So that is how Apex does the multiplexing or actually mapping of a tuple to a downstream operator. Samoa has similar concepts where it has different types of connections involved. The first is a shuffle, which is basically a random mapping, right? It can say, okay, I want this tuple to go to any random downstream partition. Then there's a key-based partitioning where you say, okay, I want the same key to go to some same partition. I don't want same key going to different partitions. So if key is one, I want to go to some of any one of those partitions. Okay? And then there's all, which means that I want all the tuples to go to all downstream partitions. So for message shuffling, which is the first case, the random thing, we take the tuple-based hash code for it, because a tuple is just an object, right? And the hash code would be random in that case. So it can go to any of the partitions, and hence this can be achieved. For key-based shuffling, you just take the hash code of the key in that case, okay? Instead of taking the that for the tuple. And for all-based, you have to actually define a custom partitioner in Apex, which says, okay, you can't just send a tuple to just one partition, you have to send it to all of them. Right? So you need to implement a custom partitioner which was implemented for this integration. Okay? Another important point that is required here is the iteration support. So if you remember, in the slides, we talked about the topology being a DAG, the directed acyclic graph, right? Which means there can be no cycles. But in some cases, like machine learning usually needs iterations. And even in streaming, there is at least a feedback loop so that there is some feedback from the downstream operator to the upstream operator, which actually introduces a cycle in the topology. And the core challenge was to maintain the fault-tolerant nature in spite of this loopback. Because when you have loopbacks, you don't have a linear flow of the data, right? So Apex tries to do that using delay operator. So let's say you have a topology like this, A, B, and C, and there's a feedback loop from C to B, right? The way it is modeled in Apex to introduce this cycle is you insert a delay operator here, right? And all the delay operator does is if you get something in window X, you just increment the window for that tuple. And a basic property of an operator is that it synchronizes the windows across two ports. So if you have window number one at one port and window number two at one port, the two has to wait until there is a second window on the second port as well. So it actually has the synchronization of that. So in this case, if I am processing window number X goes here, and then this becomes window X plus one. This has to wait until I have window X plus one here as well. So what it needs to do to ensure fault tolerance is actually fabricate the control tuples at the start and end of the recovery. So when something fails, it starts from, say, window number I, right? There's window number I here, but we don't have window number I here. So you have to fabricate those tuples based on the state of D, right? And as we saw, it's checkpointed. The state is checkpointed, right? So any state which is flowing through here should also be checkpointed here when you have the loopback. So basically, we have the basic point to take here is the iteration support is implemented along with fault tolerance and correctness, which is a big deal. Okay. So some of the challenges that we encountered during the implementation. So there are differences in the APIs of these two processing engines, right? The processing engine and Samoa. Right? So we had to make sure that the right topology is built in case of Apex. There's no concept of ports in Samoa. So actually, for every stream, if there are two streams, we had to model two different ports on the operators. And usually, the stream creation is on demand. You don't know how many streams will be created. So for that, you have to have a predefined a little higher number of ports in each operator, so that in case a stream is created, you just directly connect them through ports. Okay. Then cycles in topology are handled through the delay operator. There has to be serialization of the processor states because data has to go from one node to the other node, right? And in case the data is not serializable, it may create problems. So the entire processor state for Samoa, which is a black box for Apex. Apex does not know what the code is there inside the processor. It just takes the code and runs it on as a method, right? So this had to be taken care of using the stream codec that we discussed. And so there's again the last point is the number of tuples in a single window. So as we saw, these windows have to loop back again, right? And if the number of iterations is higher for the same set of tuples, and let's say I have 1,000 tuples in one window, and the max maybe I can say is if I handle 1,000 tuples in one window, right? In the next iteration, I'll have 1,000 on the loopback and 1,000 new tuples in the new window, right? Which makes it 2,000. And if I have 10 such iterations for each tuple, I'll have 10,000 tuples on the input port, which may stall the operator, or if it is not able to handle that load, it might crash. So that is the reason we introduced some configuration for the user to actually identify the optimal. There's a sensible default there, but you can actually try to optimize the performance of the application processing. So let's look at one of the case studies. It's the vertical Hofferding tree algorithm in Samoa. It's basically a decision tree-based classifier, and it has basically two components. So there's a model aggregator, and there's a local statistic. So these two operators create your learner, right? Then there's a source PI, which is source processing item, which sends the data to the learner, sends the training data. And then there's the evaluator PI, which is actually supposed to see how many instances were correct, how many were wrong, and so on. So you can see all these things, right? There are multiple streams here. Then there's key-based parallelism for one stream, and for the other stream, there is all-based parallelism as defined by Samoa. Right? Then this loopback is implemented using a delay operator, and the parallelism is also restricted. The reason for restricting the parallelism is that you cannot scale any operator as you want, right? It depends on the algorithm. If the algorithm says, okay, if you, for example, try to scale this model aggregator, you may have multiple instances of the model aggregator, which means you cannot have your model at one place, right? You cannot distribute your model in that way. The model has to be at one place since it has to score the incoming tuples as well. So model aggregator, the parallelism is restricted to one, while you can scale the local statistics PI. So I'll just brief about how the algorithm works. It keeps sending data, right? So initially, it's a decision tree, right? So initially, you just have one node, and all the tuples are going to that node. At some point of time, when you have the model here, you just pass on those tuples to the downstream operators, which is the local statistic PI. And the reason it's called vertical, because it's not like some tuples go to one operator and some tuples go to other operator. So here in this case, there will be multiple instances. And if I have 10 instances here, I want all the 10 instances to go to all the downstream operators. The only difference is I will parallelize based on the attributes. So if I have a high dimensional data here, let's say 100 attributes, I will pass 10 attributes to this to one of the downstream partitions, 10 to other, and so on. But all of them will receive all the training instances. Only thing, they have a subset of the attributes there. So that's the reason it's called vertical. And a research paper indicated that it has a better chance of performance as opposed to horizontal parallelism, where you parallelize or distribute based on tuples. So in that case, 10 tuples with all the attributes would go to one partition, 10 tuples with all the next 10 tuples with all the attributes go to second partition, and so on. Right? So what it does is it sends the instances to the downstream partitions, and this one calculates some local statistics based on the tuples, right? And at regular intervals, this will send a control signal saying, okay, now all the downstream partitions, please send me your local statistics so that I can calculate whether I want to split my node, right? So based on the Hofferding bound, if that local statistic says, okay, now maybe we should split the decision tree node, at that time, this model aggregator PI will take the decision, split that node, update the model, and then continue the same way. Right? So at any point of time, you'll have the latest decision tree here. So any new tuple which is coming for evaluation will be evaluated according to the updated model. Okay, so this is the roadmap for Samoa. It already has some decision tree based algorithms, clustering, then there's bagging and boosting, plus there's a regressor as well for adaptive rules. This is the roadmap for Samoa to actually introduce stochastic gradient descent, boosting, adaptive plus boosting for VHT. They want to introduce regression tree and other mining algorithms for core sets and sketches, right? For Apex, similarly, as a stream processing engine, there's a different line of roadmap where we want to build in SQL support for Calcite, Apache Beam Runner is already there. There's a parallel talk going on for Apache Beam. So we are already there in the as a runner for Beam. We want to enhance our support for batch processing, which would allow us to handle these machine learning algorithms in a more better fashion. We want to encrypt the streams, which might be used in some production scenarios. We want to support Mesos as well, since currently it's just YARN. We want to have Python support. Maybe we want to play with the topology during runtime, and also have dynamic attribute changes to the running topology. So basically, the key takeaway here is Samoa brings in a new set of streaming machine learning algorithms. So just note that these algorithms were not there earlier. This is a new set of algorithms that are based on recent research papers, right? And with iteration support on Apex, we also support machine learning along with fault tolerance and correctness for recovery. And Apex is now a new runner for Samoa. You can actually try and using it. Okay, so I think so these are the resources, and if you have any questions. No questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Bhupesh.